Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Larry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Frank Film Club. This week we are talking about Priscilla, which is a new film by Sofia Coppola. It is based on the memoir Elvis and Me by Priscilla Presley and Sandra Harmon. And was written and directed by Sofia Coppola, starring Kaylee Spaney and Jacob Elordi. Going to give you a little log line. When teenager Priscilla meets Elvis Presley at a party, the man who's already a rock and roll superstar becomes someone entirely unexpected in private moments. Mm. A thrilling crush, an ally in loneliness, and a gentle best friend. Well, we're going to go into the details of Priscilla's story. Obviously. We're going to talk about how Sofia Coppola came to this story and how she pulled it all together. And then we'll also talk a little bit about the Presley family response to the film as well. So stay tuned for that. First of all, how are you both? What have you been up to?
Yeah, doing really good. I'm about to go away on a little work trip. So have just been getting ready for that, getting everything in order. Stuff with Wrapped. I mean, things are going really well for us over at Wrapped this year, which is exciting. So it's just nice to like tie off some loose ends, go away for a couple of weeks and then come back and hear all the updates on everything. Yeah, it feels like things are kind of evolving and changing quite quickly. So yeah, doing good, feeling good about life and work.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's a lovely update. Yeah, same actually. I feel like everybody has a good energy about work stuff at the moment. I'm generally just having a great time. Also have some things which are kicking off, which I'm excited about, with some good cast. More to come. And just enjoying like having a family life as well as a work life. So that's been great to sort of realise that I've got two sides of my life now rather than it just being about work.
Oh, yeah. That is lovely.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about you?
Well, as Mays just said, some exciting things are going on at Wrapped. There's like some new exciting projects on the horizon. And yeah, just generally feeling really good and actually feeling really good after having watched this film as well.
Yeah.
I feel like that was quite a highlight of my week, of the past week. So yeah, let's get into it. Okay, so let's talk about the film. Tell me, where did you watch the film? What were your first thoughts?
So I went to the cinema to see this by myself. To be honest with you, it was one of those things where I was like, right, I have to watch this film. It's going to leave the cinema really soon. So made myself go see the film. But before that point, was really looking forward to it. But because I was in that mood, I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And then as soon as it started, I was like, okay, now I know why I'm here. Yeah. I really wanted to see the film. So, so we're in the cinema, really enjoyed it. And I'm really excited to know about Priscilla's input and what she, if she vetoed anything, if she like was on board to okay things even. Sofia Coppola was just such a perfect person to tell this story, I think.
So I actually read a script a long time ago from a different writer and a different director, which was about Priscilla. And it was about just until Elvis leaves Germany and goes back to America. And it was just about those like sort of couple of years then. And so I was familiar with this story and like the sort of scandalous nature of it quite a while ago. Movies didn't happen, like whatever. And then heard about this particular project and thought, my God, this is going to be incredible. Because Sofia Coppola, I think, was a guy directing the other movie. And I think that he was really amazing. But it's just, I'm so glad that this is the version of like this story that I've got to sit and watch rather than being part of one that was just like not there. Mm. I don't know. And I just really, really appreciate the way that it has been handled. I think, I went to watch it alone at the cinema as like in the evening. I took my Yeti flask of red wine, very cute. And just felt like it was just talking to me, you know. I just felt like I could just indulge in the soundtrack, in the visuals, in the story, in like the emotional arc of this girl. And I just, really found myself relating to this woman who I have like absolutely nothing in common with, but just like really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Can I just ask a question? Was the script that you read, so was it just about when they met in Germany?
Yeah, exactly.
It
was about that time. And then it ended with Elvis going back to America and he does an interview. People say, so we saw the photos of you with the girl in Germany, like, what's that about there? Like, what kind of happened there? And then the script ended with him saying, oh, like, you know, she's nothing. That's like not really anything kind of thing. And like Priscilla's listening to it on like the radio kind of thing. Cause that is a real interview that he did. Like you can, but obviously you go on to know that they had children and they, so it was like, you know, a sort of bittersweet ending to that particular story. But I mean, this one was just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I love that we all went to the cinema on our own to go see this film. Yeah. I also went on my own and went to a new cinema that I hadn't been to before. And, I thought it was one of my favorite viewing experiences in a cinema that I've had in a really, really long time.
Yeah.
Like when watching it, I was like, I just feel so good watching this. And I feel like really, like, I just
empowered.
I just feel like a strong woman.
Mm.
And it just, I think it was a cool film to go see on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I completely agree.
Yeah. I felt great after.
That's sort of what I mean when I say like, it just felt like it was talking to me. I just felt like sitting there alone in the cinema, like on my own. I wasn't completely alone. There was lots of people watching it, but I just, like, I don't know. There's just something so empowering about it. And just like giggling with this girl who's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it's because she spends so much time on her own.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah. And we're there watching. Yeah, that's.
You're right. That's what it is.
Yeah. Cute. I felt amazing after it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it when films do that.
Yeah.
So that's really cool to know that we all had the same viewing experience. Love that.
Love that.
Okay. Well, I feel like one of the first things that's put in front of us in the film is this age difference between Priscilla and Elvis from the outset. Mm. So I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I think it's one of those things that is known. Obviously, I don't know when the first time I heard that he was 24 and she was
14.
Like, what? Yeah. What? And it's like one of those things that you know, and times are different and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure we're going to get into all of that stuff, but there was something about seeing it on the screen. Although I feel like their height difference played into it. Like, was it that drastic between the two of them? I think that really heightened it.
Yeah. Well, as in, was that height difference real in real life?
Yeah.
I don't think it was that extreme, but it was like really powerful in this.
Yeah.
Film.
Yeah. Mm.
Was that done on purpose?
No. No,
it was more just
that. Yeah, and he just has that charisma that Elvis also kind of like embodied.
Yeah,
I don't think that was intentional.
There was something about seeing it on the screen, but the way that and first of all, it's really shocking because she's basically trafficked, like groomed to go to this party,
Like found. Yeah.
But then the film doesn't. It didn't feel like it was being too judgmental about that, really.
Yeah.
It didn't make the whole film about the age difference. Mm-hmm. Is that right though?
No, I think that's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's about the love and her like longing
exactly.
for him.
It's her perspective on the situation. I think like it was a question that you asked during our Poor Things episode and you said, do you think that she has autonomy over her body?
Yeah.
This story is Priscilla's story told from Priscilla's perspective. And like, this was how she chose to conduct her life and this is what she wanted. And like, if we ask the same question, do we think Priscilla has autonomy over her own life? Mm. Absolutely. And this is the decisions
it's
that she
what
made.
She wanted,
and,
you, yeah.
and there's things that we feel uncomfortable about it. There's things that we think are wrong or like, you know, whatever. But actually, if we're really listening to women, like... Mm. This is her saying, this is what happened and this is why I'll stand by it and I'll do it again. Yeah. It puts more questions to yourself than it does to them. Like, I think watching this
movie...
they're
okay with it. Yeah. Parents are okay with
it. Yeah, so then you're sort of working out within yourself, like, what is it... like, how have I come to the views that I have about things like this and what is it that's influenced that and how is this different? I don't know, it really made me...
Yeah.
I kind of felt like I was galaxy brain, like, trying to comprehend, like, her journey. And I think, yeah, the more that you come at this and you, like, you know, I don't know, the more that you kind of, like, fight the... ethics of this story, like the less you're actually listening and the more you're just speaking. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think we learn more and we can be more nuanced in our worldview and we can be more open in our storytelling, like the more that we like try and listen rather than just speak.
Were there any standout moments for you, like that your heart just like went out to Priscilla? And I mean, I guess that kind of happens the whole way through. But were there any parts in particular that you were just like, this is like, how can this happen?
Well, yeah, I would love to ask a question. Like, is it all true?
Yeah. So it's all, so it's based on the memoir that she wrote. Priscilla was an exec on this. And she spoke with Sophia and she spoke with Kaylee. Mm. And Priscilla is really pleased with how it came out. And because obviously the portrayal of Elvis in this, which maybe we can have a chat about in a minute, I think loads of people think was really kind actually for what happens and really understanding. And I think that was probably one of the biggest things that Priscilla would have been nervous about, it being like making him look like an awful, awful person. Mm. But Sophia's obviously dealt with that in such a like empathetic way. Mm, and so she was really pleased because Priscilla, real Priscilla, always like even now still speaks about Elvis in the most like endearing way and loves him so much and wouldn't say a bad word against him. Mm. It is true.
It's really interesting to know all of that because for me, like there's so many standout moments in this. But I almost felt like I wanted it to be more chaptered because it felt like there were so many moments, like them burning the books, like them crashing down the shed, like, I don't know, they just felt like so many different moments that, yeah, you know, him getting engaged to somebody else, that I wanted to focus a little bit more on some of those moments or some of those periods of time.
Yeah.
Like when she had the baby or, you know... just a little bit linger a little bit longer on those.
I do feel like that's something that's very particular about Sofia Coppola's style of storytelling. There's like a real simplicity and like flow in the way that she writes her scripts that it just, I know exactly what you mean. I can't quite put my finger on it. And I also don't know if it always works, but I just always know that it's recognizably her. Just that, I don't know, that feeling of motion, like you never stop in her movies and you feel these arcs growing and lifting and changing, but like you don't stop until the end. You know what I mean? Like there's never, it's the only way I can describe it, but I feel like that's something to do with the way that she right. That feeling.
Yeah.
Like, rather than having that sort of chapter structure, which could be useful in some of her stories, but it's I would equate that to just like her style.
I think maybe if it was more chaptered that it wouldn't be as interesting, because there are all these things that happened and maybe they're iconic moments that people who read the book would want to reference, or maybe it like helps build this world and, you know, makes her progress in like a very different way than if you had seen something chaptered. But I think it's just because the thing about the performance and Kaylee's performance of this is that she never quite like breaks. You don't see like a big dramatic crescendo for her, but it feels like it's always teetering on the edge. And I don't know whether I missed that or not.
Well, so I would argue, this is just like from my view of the edit, I would argue that there were times when she really did in scenes, but the edit comes away from her. And I wonder if that was something that was manipulated a little bit afterwards. So as you like a hold off on like, so for example, out on the out on the sort of patio when they're eating breakfast or something, and Elvis says that he's going to go away again. There's like, she's angry about an article that she's seen. There's just like, I don't know, I feel like it's dialogue taken from the real day where she's really raising her voice and she's really like in pain. But the blocking of it is like on a wide shot that doesn't quite match the like heightened way that her voice is. Same thing when he's packing the suitcase, like she's clearly like sobbing a lot, but like they haven't like indulged in her like screaming at him. Like they've cut to the wider shots of her just sort of like crumbling by the case. And so I don't know why. I can't like say why, but I do think that that's been a choice that came a bit later. Because I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just making this up in my head, but I think that they've held off showing her like that. And I don't know why.
In that way then, because I'm imagining what you're saying with her being on the floor with the suitcase, she feels so meek and just like she can't ever stand up to the power of this guy. So you're saying that maybe, well, what is her? I've never heard her in an interview or anything. I don't know what her like personality is like. Is she like that, or was it that this was a choice for the film?
I would say like incredibly composed.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like I think the way that she conducts herself, and she's been watched, scrutinized. I mean, that doesn't mean that that's what you're like when you're behind closed doors. It's very The Crown. Like it feels like we're really seeing behind the scenes of like, They are like the king and queen of the United States of America. Like, but truly, like they were the biggest like thing ever. Like, I don't know, there was just like not celebrity before this. Like, she's like she's the most iconic woman in America, I would say, to me.
No, I think she is.
Yeah,
and yeah. So then on the point, like you're saying that with those like any of the dramatic scenes where she does start to get upset, I think it would have been a disservice to her to do a close-up on that and to go in on that, because I don't think that is
well,
her.
If that's what she puts out as like her persona, because you're right, like she would crack more than that, but we don't see it, and she's an exec on this film. So that's must be a discussion, right, with Sophia on how much they want to show of that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it wasn't there, but it's held back from the audience.
I just think it's like really powerful. It's like a woman that we don't see often. And I think that it's amazing because it is like a real woman. And I just think like you can see you can empathize so deeply with the pain that she feels, but you're not seeing a woman like, you know, like, you know, that.
And we
see
that so much.
We see it so
woman
much.
Breakdown.
Yeah. And it's so over the top.
Yeah.
Emotional woman.
Exactly. And like, there's just something about her that I just, you know, I don't, it's not even like I idolize it. I just think like, it's just like, she's a woman that is so important in history. And like, no, like seeing that personal side to her, even if in like a sort of fictionalized movie or whatever, I just think it's cool and important somehow.
I think it kind of feeds into the to like the idea of like what a woman was at that time, and like being there for a f- for your your husband and yeah, being what you needed to be for him and not being over the top crying about something that upsets you. Because like he's, when he's like, I need to be with someone who knows that these types of things are going to happen. And it's like, she kind of is like doing it for him. Like she holds it together kind of for him, which is even more heartbreaking actually.
So much so. And God, it's just so true now thinking about what you said at the beginning as well. Like we cast aspersions on this type of story can do sometimes because we just don't understand it. Because would we ever put up with even like an iota of this with
but at
somebody
the same
we're
time,
with?
Like,
but that's what it was.
Yeah, like mad respect that he's got clear boundaries. Whether or not we agree with them, he expresses them to her and she has to choose whether or not she wants to go along with it. I mean, like that, there's not like really a more healthy way to sort of start a relationship, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and one of the things that Sophia was so excited about when coming onto this project or bringing this project to life was the fact that it, she felt it, that she was making a film about a character that is so similar to her mum and her mum's generation and what like the world was like then. And I just think that that's really cool. And I don't feel like those characters or women of that generation are often given, the time of day. They're not given a film like this.
Yeah, yeah. That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really special.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What brought you to this, like, what made you want to watch this film? Is it that it was about Priscilla or was it, like, Sofia Coppola or is it both?
Big combination of the big three, Priscilla, Sofia, Kaylee.
Yeah.
It was, like, that was kind of my, it's, like, such a perfect storm for me.
I don't know much about Kaylee Spaney, you know.
No, I'd seen her in The Mayor of Easttown, but I was...
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I didn't realise she was in it until this morning. I think she's Kate Winslet's daughter.
Okay, I remember her. Yeah,
but she just didn't connect.
Yeah, I am such a massive fan of her work. I think that she is like we're gonna constantly be auditioning for the same things, but whenever there's something that she's cast in, it's like there's some people where it like stings you, and then there's other people where I'm just like so happy.
Yeah.
Because I really, really love her and I would love to work with her one day, like desperately. I'm like, I really just think that she's so special. There's so many splashy names like at this time, and Kaylee Spaney isn't really necessarily one of them, but like I just think that whether it's her choices or whether it's the directors who want to work with her, I just think there's like she's in a really special place in the industry that I just like I really admire. I think she's brilliant.
Do you think this film will do that for her?
No, because I like really hoped that it would, but I feel like it hasn't. I don't feel like as many people have seen this as they should have, which is weird because I'm like, I don't feel like A24 did as much marketing as they often do.
I think I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's the Sofia Coppola thing. All of her movies become iconic classics, but they are always like torn apart when they come out. I don't know what it is and I don't know why, but I want to put a pin in it right now. Draw a line under that because I think she's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. So amazing.
Yeah.
Did it get any nods at Oscars?
No, it's had like nothing. It's done nothing at the awards, which is ridiculous.
But I just think, yeah, it's such a sign of like where we're at right now in the like, the politics of awards. I don't know. I don't know.
When Lost in Translation came out and Virgin Suicides, did they, does anyone know, Marie Antoinette, does anyone know if those were instant, like, critically acclaimed, like people came to it straight away, or if it was like later on?
Well, with Marie Antoinette, that's definitely, that's only just having its resurgence. When that came out, it like absolutely went to shit.
No way.
Which I think was a huge disappointment. That was like her biggest budget film by far. And it just like did not do well at all. And I think she was really gutted. But it's now coming. Now people are starting to love it.
Yeah.
But Lost in Translation is the only one that's like been truly like critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was 2003. So then, and since that, she's done quite a few other films, but
none of them's hit it in that way. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
She has an audience though, because I've seen, I think, pretty much all of her films.
That Bling Ring? No.
Oh my God, Bling Ring. Oh, yeah. I always forget that she did Bling Ring.
I want to rewatch that, actually.
I didn't love it at the time.
No, I didn't love it at the time, but I want to rewatch it because I think I might love it now.
There's a documentary about the whole thing as well. And did you see it?
Yeah.
On Netflix, yeah. So
I haven't seen it.
That's a good idea. We need to do a little rewatch of that.
So I have a mad fact. Jacob and Kaylee never did a chemistry test for this. And they just like met on set. It wasn't intentional. They were meant to do a chemistry read. But they just never, they never got around to it. And then they just met on set. And I mean, would you agree that their chemistry is incredible?
Insane. Would caveat though, I really think Jacob Elordi could have chemistry with a potato. Like, I think I think it's him. I really do. I think the two of them together are really, really interesting. And it is a perfect match. But I would, out of like a lot of actors, say, not be concerned about him having.
That's true.
He was so yeah,
that's so true, because part of like the reason that they that Sophia cast him was because she was like, no one looks like Elvis, so we can't look for for someone who trying to make him
Miles
look
Teller.
Like. Oh,
he doesn't have the charisma. Also,
well, exactly. So then that's what. So yeah, she wasn't going for the looks, but she just needed someone who could really carry that charisma and just like walk in a room and completely like everyone be magnetized to him. And so that's why he got it. So I suppose that was kind of, they were probably quite safe with not having done
it. I think they're in safe hands there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think, do you know what? You saying this now has just made me visualize the scene that actually I thought, oh, please take that out. Was I don't think we needed to see him on the stage going like this. Like, it like cringed me a little bit. It was, just because we were so not used to seeing it, and it wasn't about that. And then there was something about seeing Jacob Elordi's little hips going that I was like, oh, slight.
Yeah. I don't know. In a way, I actually quite like that.
I bet.
Not because I was just looking at Jacob Elordi's little hips. But because it like, we understood what was going on, that like he's in, that's the life that he's living.
Yeah.
But by not going into it in too much detail and really keeping the focus on
backstage.
On Priscilla.
Like, it's the view that she would have had of him, which was from behind, which I thought was interesting.
True.
Like, of the audience, you know, like you always see him silhouetted. Like, for them, it's like not for her, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, something symbolic perhaps.
Mm.
I was laughing with Maisie this morning because I was talking about how much I fell in love. I didn't really have a crush on Jacob Elordi until this scene. When they're taking Polaroid photographs of each other in the bedroom. Oh my God, I was crying. I was like, oh my gosh.
I wonder if sales of Polaroid cameras after watching this film, if they increase, because I want one now.
No, but what I was saying was that I feel like if any of us suddenly started taking Polaroids in the bedroom, it would get developed and it would completely kill the vibe, because it would just be like not photogenic at all.
Oh, yeah.
So we were
just so, can you imagine like actually doing that and being like, oh, can you do another one? I don't like how I look in that.
Just point it up.
Yeah, like, should we look at them? And then like all of the vibe is just killed because you're both looking at them.
Should
like,
we actually just go to sleep?
We look so strange right now.
Yeah, so the alternative would be get film that has to be developed in like a week. And then you're
just
good.
Shoot away. Leave it all to the imagination and the mystery, and then
and that's what made you fancy him.
That scene I was like, wow, Yeah, that was...
It was ticking the boxes. Yeah,
I just thought that was really hot. So, we've spoken a little bit about how Priscilla was... actual Priscilla, real life Priscilla, was quite involved in this. However, and she was happy with it.
Yeah.
However, a little bit before the shoot, Lisa Marie Presley emailed Sophia saying that she really didn't like the way that certain events were being portrayed in the script and that she would like go against her publicly if she goes ahead with it. Mm. And I think Sophia was like, oh my gosh, I really don't want to be intruding here. But I think Sophia was just like, I think she thinks that I'm going to do this in a different way to what I intend, how I intend to do it. Like, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm being really non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. And so Sophia didn't actually change anything and she just went ahead and did it. And obviously, sadly, Lisa Marie Presley died before this came out and never got to see it, which I think Sophia is really, really gutted about because she was like, I think she actually would have been pleased with this and it was just a bit of a misunderstanding.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
It's awful.
Yeah,
it's
really heartbreaking.
Can I ask some questions to just clarify? Mm-hmm. So with Priscilla and Lisa Marie, did they not have a good relationship?
I think they did have a good relationship.
So Priscilla, though, was really pro this film and her daughter was not?
I guess it was like something... I don't think that's been a thing been publicly, but it was probably just a bit of a misunderstanding within the family, maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
It is also the way that memories work, you know. I think, like, me and all of my siblings had the same upbringing and were under the same roof and lived, like, massive life events together and yet have completely different interpretations of like what it was and what it meant and how we feel about it now. And I think that's the most challenging thing. And like, at the end of the day, if you're going to call it Priscilla and it's about Priscilla's book, then I think like making it from Priscilla's perspective is important. But yeah, I mean, like, inevitably people can sort of see eye to eye on things and still, you know, still completely disagree with the way that something's like being portrayed. It's really, really devastating. That's made me feel a bit like, I don't know, just like really, it's such a sort of tragic story anyway, but like, I think sort of this movie coming out and Lisa Marie not seeing it and like the timing of her like really tragic passing and it's just, I don't know, it's like some sort of like energy is like charged with this family. I don't know. What I mean. Like, I don't know, it's something about it just feels like really powerful, but like really devastating.
Yeah.
Do you know if they ever thought to delay, because the timing of the Elvis film and the Priscilla film, I mean, they're literally called Elvis, Priscilla.
Yeah.
Like, did they ever think maybe we need to wait, especially with Lisa Marie's death?
Not that I know of, but with the Elvis film, Baz Luhrmann's version, Sophia didn't know anything about this before she wrote the script. And she wrote the script, so entirely unknown about that there was an Elvis film coming out. But then she did watch Elvis film not that long before she went into production. But it had been, I think, quite a long time had passed by then. Well, although in saying that, so what? But that must have come out like January last year.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long ago.
No.
But yeah, not that I know of. I don't think it got delayed.
It's so funny because even thinking about the imagery that's put out on Elvis versus Priscilla, it is almost like a... like they are symbolized.
It's like Barbenheimer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Wow. They're just so different. Like her, the marketing that was like, it feels very soft and muted and the performances of that and the story and how it like goes through the different moments of their life. And Elvis is much more like splashy commercial, like showman.
Yeah.
So it's like, it feels very...
Even the fact that it was like Baz Luhrmann and it was Sophia Coppola. Like there's just like, there's so many incredible parallels, I think, to draw between these two interpretations of like similar stories.
It's almost like it was planned, you know?
You know what I mean? Like, it's just something about, this is what I mean. Like, I just think there's something about this family that's like so, I don't know.
Well, it is a business.
Wow.
What do you mean? If you mean, like, on, were you saying it's like it was planned? Oh, there is a brand now. It is a business, Elvis Presley. So, like, maybe that was planned. I don't know. They obviously must have sold the rights to.
Well,
these.
I hear that they there's no Elvis songs in the film because the estate wouldn't let Sofia Coppola. Like, they didn't okay the film.
Oh, well, they must have sign off from a couple of people, because I think Priscilla was the one that opened up. Like, they were sort of close to bankruptcy when Elvis passed, and she opened up Graceland to become like a museum, and then they managed to sort the estate out.
So this is complicated. Mm. So Priscilla is still part of the estate.
Oh, yeah. And so, she's head of it. Yeah.
But that's right. So interesting why couldn't they use Elvis's songs then? Maybe she also just felt like,
I don't think she would have wanted to.
Right.
I don't imagine Sophia, like, oh my God, the soundtrack in this is incredible. I don't imagine that Sophia wanted to use Elvis's songs, because it's not
the point, right? Yeah. Is that we all know that, and this is what we don't know. And so you have the moments cutting to the film stars that he's working with at the time. Also, it kind of, a lot of it takes place during the time when he was really trying to kickstart his acting career and less sort of doing the music. That's kind of the point, right? Is that like Priscilla loves Elvis, and it's about him and not what he does or what he makes. Like, it's like him that she will stand next to, and like maybe, you know, seeing too much of the acting or seeing too much of the music starts to take away. It's like that's what everyone else loves of him, but she loves him.
Yeah, yeah. And those like private moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I've just got to talk about the end in a second, because for me, this is potentially my favorite ending ever. Although I do love the ending of Sound of Metal, but I think for the same reasons as for the same reasons as this, because it finishes and bloody Dolly Parton stops singing "I Will Always Love You," and you just know she's going to be okay, and you're like, well, I guess a bit like Eternal Sunshine, like we were speaking about last week. You just know it's just like it's okay. She's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And well, would you agree? How did you both feel on the ending?
I definitely agree. I think it's the scene just before where she goes to the hotel room and they break up in the hotel room. I think the same scene is in the Elvis film, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like that same situation is in. Who plays Priscilla in the Elvis film?
She's called Olivia De Jong or something.
Okay, cool.
I think she's an Australian actress. Oh, cool. Oh, maybe I'm making that up. Sorry. Olivia De Jong. And I don't know if that's actually how you pronounce it. But she was amazing in that film.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't, that was probably the weakest scene in the film for me, to be honest.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That film?
Of Priscilla.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think what an impossible task to cast somebody who goes from 14 to what age?
29.
Like, that's so rough, so difficult. And I didn't buy into it as much as I did in the Elvis film. And because you've got something to compare it to, then, you know, that's difficult. But the last scene, oh my God, incredible.
So incredible.
Yeah.
Haven't stopped listening to that song.
Yeah, me too.
It's just like, yeah, I think reading final scenes in scripts and watching final scenes on screen are like very different. And I feel like this is the sort of ending that I'd read in a script and be like, is that a good ending? But I know that when I watch movies, I feel like so strongly about endings. And like, there's so many that I just think people butcher. And it's like, they just need to take out like four or five shots, or they just need to delete one scene or like three scenes. I always have an opinion on it. But when it's done right like this, it's like, it does everything. It's the last note that you leave an audience on. Like, it's perfect. It's perfect ending to this movie.
All right. So any guesses on the budget?
Ooh. Well, costume, set design.
Could you give us like a ballpark of her other movies?
I can. Okay, so Virgin Suicides, 6 mil. Mm-hmm. That's her debut, 6 mil.
Nice.
Lost in Translation. Okay. Yeah, she's a coppola, to be fair. Lost in Translation, 4. Marie Antoinette, 40.
Oh my God.
The Bling Ring, 8.
Wow. Yeah. And that was the order also.
That was the order. I think I also missed somewhere, but yeah.
Wow. I'm going to say 10.
I'm going to say 25.
It was 20.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Which I think is needed for this. But I actually just also had a little look at how much the Elvis movie cost.
Oh God.
As we're comparing the two.
Mm.
As a guess.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Like, this is Baz Luhrmann. I don't want to sound completely ridiculous, but I'm going to say like 40 mil.
Tom Hanks in a fat suit.
Oh my gosh,
I'm going
right.
to say.
You're right, Tom Hanks would be so expensive anyway.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick to it, but.
I'm going to say 90. I'm going to say 80. I'm going to say.
Why don't you go in the middle and then you'll be correct?
I'll be saying 85.
It corrects.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
85 million. But one thing that Sophia has said is that she does love to work with low budgets. I mean, this is still a pretty nice budget, but lower budgets in the film industry because she has more creative freedom, and that's obviously something that's so important to her.
True.
And I think she pulls off.
Yeah, when you're getting all of that money, people have a lot of opinions about how you spend it. So I love that for her.
Yeah, me too.
I have a new appreciation of this film since having this conversation, and I think you've both nailed what I was sort of like, not the rushing through the scenes and also like the judgment on what we're actually seeing thing. You've really tied that up for me a bit. So hopefully it's...
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Also, she had to get from 14 to 29. If I'm assuming, I think that's the perfect time to start and the perfect time age-wise to, well, with the points in her life. It's the whole time that Elvis was in her life.
Yeah.
How many years is that?
16, 7, 15.
15 years.
15.
So she did have a lot of ground to cover, which was probably also why she had to hurry up a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And also, she's going from source material. So if it's a memoir, then
there's going to be so much.
She's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, also, we should all just read the book.
We really should.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Maybe we should start book club.
Book club.
Oh, I love that.
Also, really random fact that I found really funny. You know, Jacob Elordi?
Yeah.
He used to go out with Kaya Gerber, who now goes out with the other Elvis.
Austin Butler.
Oh, that's fab.
That's so funny. There was a Letterboxd review that was saying something about that, and I didn't really understand, but that would be
wild. She's going through the Elvis universe one step at a time.
Yeah. She just wants to be Priscilla.
She does.
Okay. Some Letterboxd reviews.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so Vita gave it 4 stars and said, "Oh, Mother Coppola, you have done it again." Joe Reed gave it 4 stars and said, "This film belongs to a very select list of movies that end before you start thinking, when is this going to end?" Basically, he thought it ended at the right time.
Got it.
And then, so generally, when I've been looking on Letterboxd and a lot of other places, it's been really well reviewed by like general people, critically it hasn't been done so well, but I just wanted to find a little bad review because it's always nice to mix things up. On Rotten Tomatoes, Tim Miller said, "The story has the impact of a slowly deflating balloon, and it's almost funny how anticlimactic the ending is. This might be intentional. Endings in real life can be like that. It doesn't make the film any better." I think that Tim can do one.
Yeah, it's so confusing. Like, it's so hard because I understand that, like, little happens, right?
Mm.
But, like, the emotional journey is what is happening. And it's
so much happens there.
So much happens. And I just think, like, this is just such a product of, like, what do they say? Like, men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Mm.
I'm guessing Tim is a boy.
I would presume so.
He's a man. But, like, I just think, like, to just completely disregard that something is happening is like, were you even listening?
Mm.
But like, probably not, because that's the point.
Mm.
Oh
yeah.
Do you use this in script notes. Is this where I've heard this before? Show, don't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I feel like it's that about her emotional journey. Like, yeah. You're showing.
And it's done so well.
Yeah.
I think
Tim doesn't
wrong
understand
too.
The complex brain of a female.
And I'm sure there's things that we don't, like I don't understand, and that's fine. Yeah, Tim, totally. Like, write me about it.
Yeah.
Write me about the films that I'm wrong about, but you're wrong about this one. Sorry.
Well, I was about to say, I bet you're wondering what Sophia's up to next. And I actually don't have the answer to that question.
Because I am too.
Because I'm wondering. I can tell you what she was developing at one point. So Sophia was developing a TV project, which I don't think she's done before, which was an adaptation of Edith Wharton's The Custom of the Country with Apple. And it had Florence Pugh attached to star. But they cut the funding and it all fell apart. And that's actually when she reread Elvis and Me and then did this.
Oh, so I was going to say, was that because of the strikes? But it was before
this film.
No, it was
actually in lockdown that was, yeah.
Oh, maybe that's why.
So then. I don't know if she's returning to that what. But
yeah, there's definitely a lot of space in between her masterpieces.
Yeah.
Which is,
I think she only focuses on one thing at a time, which is quite wise. Mm. Kaylee Spaney is going to be in Alex Garland's new film called Civil War.
Oh my God.
I bet you're jealous of that one.
Well, slightly, but I'm pleased for her too. Well, they've worked together before and Devs, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're like, you know, cool. Muses, which I, you know, I'll watch it. I'm going to love it. I mean, they're my two favourite people.
Yeah, and Kirsten Dunst is in it as well.
No way. That's wicked.
So Jacob Elordi.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but he is going to be in Guillermo del Toro's new film, Frankenstein.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, I did know. But I didn't know he was directing.
Oh, right, yeah. And he's playing Frankenstein's monster.
Cool.
Oh, my God, that's great.
How mad?
Mm. Very cool.
Like, I'm so intrigued as to what that film's going to be.
Like tone?
Yeah.
Very intrigued.
So that's exciting.
Mm. Mm. Mary Shelley strikes again.
Mm. Very good.
Mm. But yeah, so can I get your final thoughts on Priscilla?
Yeah, I really loved it. I think this telling of this story could only be done by Sofia Coppola. It is trademark her all over, and I'm so glad about it that it wasn't in anybody else's hands. Really love getting the contacts as well. I think that's made it so much more like colourful for me, and I've really enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah, I think, like, up there with some of my favourite Sofia Coppola films, but also just, like, added into my little, like, satchel of just, like, movies to bring out, like, when I'm, like, need them. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, like, different tools that you have in life. And I feel like this movie is going to become one of those tools for me. Mm. And, yeah, just love that I saw it alone. Like, I think that that's just put it somewhere in my soul that it like needed to be. And feel really, really grateful for this film.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. I actually think that this has jumped to one of my favorite films because I just loved it so much.
It is. It's so divided though amongst people, which is interesting. But yeah. I'm really glad that we all had something good to take from it.
Yeah. It's made me want to wear more fancy clothes, actually.
Same.
Oh, yeah.
Make a bit more of a bloody effort, do you know what I mean?
Actually, that does look quite nice.
Yeah.
Feel nice.
Maybe some eyeliner wouldn't go amiss every now and then.
Elvis was right.
Style me. All right, well, Fab, thanks so much for chatting with me about Priscilla.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please do follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Frank Film Club. You can also email us with your thoughts at filmclub@rap.world. Follow us on YouTube, like and subscribe, and also follow us on Spotify, and then you can listen to more of our podcasts.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. Next week, we're going to be talking about the incredible film All of Us Strangers, which was written and directed by Andrew Haig. It's currently in the cinemas at the time of recording this, and if it's moved off of there, then it should be on either Disney Plus or on 4OD. So go over there and have a little look to see if you can find it. If not, don't tweet me. Don't come for me. Don't tell me. I'm sorry that I got it wrong. And then join us next week for more Frank Film Club.
Thank you so much for watching this video. I hope that you enjoyed. If you did enjoy, then please like and subscribe this channel and video. And let us know what you thought about the film as well in the comments. We'd love to know if you loved it, if you hated it. Yeah, tell us what you think.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.